operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop.
All right, welcome back to Comic Book Revolution Podcast. As always, I'm Rock, and by my side, the Spencer Tracy to my Catherine Hepburn, Steven. How you doing, my friend?
Doing good. I'm liking the classics references.
Yes, sir. As always, you can check us out over at comicbookrevolution.com for all the reviews, commentary, news, and whatnot. You can check us out on Twitter at CB Revolution. Check me out on Twitter at Rock2K's Revolution. Check us out on Facebook, of course, the Comic Book Revolution Facebook page. And Steven, you?
You can find me on Twitter at President Glover.
Hey, excellent, my friend. Hey. All right, my friend, we just had a few news articles to run through.
Mm-hmm.
And also take a peek at the December 2019 sales chart as well. All right. Let's take a peek first. Let's take a peek first at some news coming out of Disney and the Marvel movies, TV shows, all that kind of fun stuff.
All right.
News came out, Steven. Captain Marvel's sequel is going forward.
Of course.
But without...
Mm-hmm.
Without the original writers and directors. How about that, Steven? I did not see that. Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, who co-wrote and directed the first Captain Marvel movie, mm-hmm. they are not going to be involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Marvel has in general tried to keep the same writer, directors, whatnot on the sequels.
Yeah.
And that's not true. So here. Captain Marvel certainly being, certainly sparking some lively debates. I think Captain Marvel probably, it's safe to say, no matter whether you liked it or not, it's safe to say is probably the single most divisive Marvel Studios movie to this point.
Yeah, I'd probably say so. There are some that are worse, just at least, I hate saying objectively, but
right.
You know, I think it's pretty clear. There's a couple that are worse, but it's I think that character the character is certainly the most divisive.
Yes, I would agree with you on that.
But yeah.
So what do you think about not using the same writer director? You think that means we're going to get a different direction with Captain Marvel 2? They're going to change the tone, kind of the message, or you think it's going to be the same old, same old?
Well, the first one was bad. It was written bad. It was shot bad, which even just the way it looks, it was just like, is seriously? And so it's not only written like a bad Battlestar Galactica episode, it's directed like a bad Battlestar Galactica
Fantastic.
Episode. Fantastic. Okay. So as far as the direction it goes in, beats me. I'm sure whatever it is, it's whatever Kevin Feige wants, because he's the one who controls everything. And I had some people talking about, who do you think the new director is going to be? It's like, well, it's somebody who can hold a camera and has no power. So Kevin Feige can run over them and do whatever he wants.
Right.
So, I'm not really sure what people want.
No, no.
They'll probably pluck somebody, a promising indie director, and shove them into the machine and ensure that they will never leave Disney because nobody will ever care as much as when something has Marvel in front of it.
Yep.
It is a sad reality that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Jon Favreau.
It's true, though. It's very true. That's how it works. I have no idea who they're going to hire. I think you're right. I think it's going to be some type of indie director that they just pluck out and just say, hey, do this. And hey, this is how you're going to make your name.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so, all right, well, we'll see. Should be interesting. I think you're probably going to get it, because it's all about Feige and the Marvel machine. I don't think this means a different a different tone or direction with the second movie. I think you're going to get pretty much the same thing out of the first movie.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah, probably. I think maybe they might have her more in space this time. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
The only reason I could see it going in an actual different direction is that they don't care, because I feel like that's why Thor Ragnarok turned out the way it did, is they just didn't care and right. said, oh, you know, do whatever.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I gotcha. The other news coming out from Marvel Studios, Steven, mm-hmm. Kevin Feige has reportedly met with Patrick Stewart mm-hmm. about reprising the role of Professor X. Mm-hmm. I'm all for that, obviously. I would like some consistency in between the movies. I would like that. And
it raises some questions about how this transfer would be made. I thought they were just going to go for a straight full reboot.
I did too. But I am okay if they don't do a full reboot. Mm-hmm. Hell, I'm okay even if they do a full reboot but still use Patrick Stewart.
Oh, sure.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because you can still use him and do a full reboot. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, and this is basically according to his comments, I think he's done. It's been 20.
So?
It's been 20 yeah. years. He's gonna be 80 probably mm-hmm. by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's like, just get somebody else.
So you are not
leave
betting
the poor man alone.
You are not betting on Patrick Stewart taking over the role of Professor X.
No,
you don't see that coming.
I think out of his classic characters,
yeah.
he got lured into doing that Picard show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after that, he's probably going to be done just
fair enough.
In general.
Right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I can see that.
Let the man have his rest.
Thank you.
He's deserved it.
Patrick Stewart and Harrison Ford, let the guys rest already.
Yeah, just let him go.
God, they're all like 80 years old, for crying out loud. More news from Marvel, Steven. Mm-hmm. It appears there's a rumor that the Thunderbolts may make their MCU debut in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier Disney Plus show.
Mm-hmm.
I would be all for that. I like the Thunderbolts. I think they're mm-hmm. really cool. If we get the classic Thunderbolts, Busiek's Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
If we get them, I think that would be really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, really cool. Kurt Busiek and Mark Bagley rolled them out in 97, I believe. 1997. In Incredible Hulk. And they're just, it's a great concept. I think that would work really well, too. For the villains for a Falcon Winter Soldier show mm. as well. That's a good set of villains for them to go up against.
Yeah.
You know, the only one that might be hard to pull off, I don't know what kind of budget. We don't know. The budget for The Mandalorian was had to be pretty sizable because that show looked pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they're going to get a pretty decent budget. The only character I think that might be hard to do would be Atlas.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got to grow. Mm-hmm. He might be the hardest one. Everyone else, Songbird and Vanguard.
Moonstone.
Not too hard as far as too expensive.
Yeah. I mean, maybe don't do Mach 1 or the Beetle, because that's very...
Right.
That's a lot of tech they got to put on them.
True.
But...
True.
I don't know. I figured they would say something like that for the movies, but, if they're going to try to force people to watch... to get Disney Plus to watch these TV shows,
mm-hmm.
then, I mean, I assume you're going to need a magnet of some sort.
For sure.
I'm still not entirely certain about that that strategy that they're going with, because we don't know how it's going to play out.
Right.
So we'll see. Maybe they'll be introduced, and then that'll be their ticket
springboard
to a
over
movie
the movies.
Or something. Yeah.
I could absolutely see that.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I think you're right about that.
Because Baron Zemo, I think, is in the TV show. I think.
Yes.
So, that would be the place to do it.
Yep.
Since he's the leader of the Thunderbolts.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
Right. Also announced. Mm-hmm. They're going to be. You have Disney Plus, but you also had some Marvel shows that were going to be done for Hulu.
Right.
Which I thought was a bad... I think the only time you put them... I guess a Marvel show for Hulu would be okay if you're really going to adult it up.
Yeah.
If you're going to really adult it up, like Punisher level Netflix type of show, I would throw that on Hulu, because that really is being marketed
Hulu has all the FX shows and all the stuff that's far more adult.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
In Target. So they had announced they were going to do a Howard the Duck show and a Tigra and Dazzler show.
Yeah.
Both are gone. That really sucks. That sucks, Steven. I love Howard the Duck. I love, love, love Howard the Duck. He is so cool in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
He's just such a neat, he was such a cool character when he first appeared. I think there's a lot of potential with that character. Howard the Duck is a Steve Gerber creation, and everyone knows that I worship at the altar of Steve Gerber. Because he is what, without him, we don't get Grant Morrison and all the stuff we love.
Yep.
So I liked Howard the Duck, and really, I mean, Gerber was doing stuff on Howard the Duck in the early 70s that just, not early 70s. Yeah, early 70s, around 73. 70s, yeah. 73 when it first came out. He was doing stuff that just, nobody was doing. It was just so different, so different. So I think it's a cool character. I think you could have, a Howard the Duck show would give you a Marvel show that would really feel distinctive and separate itself so much from everything else we've gotten from Marvel, TV or studios. And I think as we are, you know, as we progress past the initial 10-year story arc with the Avengers and everything, as that has all ended, and as we're going into the second decade, amazingly enough, of all these Marvel, and Marvel Studios now owns the TV, runs the TV shows. They got rid of Marvel TV, so it's now all Marvel Studios. So when I say Marvel Studios, that includes TV and movies. Yes. As we go for the second decade of Marvel Studios, I think if they want to stick around, if they want to retain their popularity, I think it's incumbent to really branch out and start doing some really different things other than the highly formulaic. Like, don't get me wrong, they made tons of money. Don't get it. I say sometimes people get defensive, like, what do you mean formulaic? Well, it can be formulaic and still be enjoyable and make money.
Sure. They definitely made money.
Yeah. So, but they need to break away from the, everything is starting to feel very predictable. The Marvel movies are starting to feel very predictable to me. And so a Howard the Duck show, I thought, would really give them a chance to shake things up. And to be honest, I thought a Tigra Dazzler show was so in such an insane mashup that I thought, do you know what?
That could work.
But again, you can't give us the standard hashtag you go girl social political state. Give me something, a real story.
Yeah.
Give me a real story, not just a movement. Give me a real story sink my teeth into. Yeah. And I thought Tiger Dazzler could do that as well, because they're pretty offbeat, weird pairing.
Yeah.
Both gone. That sucks.
They're not really into the whole new thing. We're not really into the ideas department.
I know.
I mean, that was, that's why, like, when, what's his face, Scott Derrickson got, he left for the dreaded creative differences from Doctor Strange.
Right.
I was just thinking back to when he said, oh, yeah, it's going to be Marvel's first kind of horror-ish movie, and Kevin Feige is like, nope.
No, it's not.
It's like, well,
no, it's not.
Yeah, that's not going to work out. And then
he's gone.
Lo and behold. There you go. Something
not
surprising.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid we do anything remotely different.
Yeah, that really did. I am very disappointed. I can't say I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be surprised.
No.
But, it is what it is, and we move forward.
get dragged along.
I know, right? Also from Disney, Stephen, there are rumors. You know, the Pirates of the Caribbean, Disney wants that going again. That franchise was a juggernaut. Make no mistake.
It was until it wasn't.
It was until it wasn't. But that movie just made them so much money.
Yeah,
that franchise was just killer. And of course, it's based on classic ride. Not as good as it used to be. They've changed it so much over the years. It's not as cool as it used to be.
Yeah.
It used to be really dark. I mean, it was like rape, murder. It was like in Disney World. I mean, you had Pirates of the Caribbean in Disney World had pirates chasing women to rape them. Then it had pirates auctioning women off, and then it had pirates killing people.
Yeah,
in Disney World, Steven. What the what? Anyhow, So the rumor is Zac Efron to replace
to replace Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow. What do you think about that casting, Stephen? If it's true, what do you think of that?
If it's true,
yeah.
I mean, Zac Efron's a very talented guy. When he's in the right role, he mm-hmm. can be very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Jack Sparrow is one of those characters that they're just so tied to the person playing them.
Like that, replacing Robert Downey Jr. for Tony Stark?
Yes.
Very hard to do. Mm-hmm. But as you and I like to go back, Stephen, and point out, people back in the day, like you and I.
That's fair.
You and I
feel like I know what you're going to bring
up. Stephen and Rock back in the 60s on our ham radio show. No podcast.
Talking like this.
Talking like this. Stephen, listen, no news. Sean Connery, the thought of replacing Sean Connery as James Bond, there were people that would laugh in your face about that. I remember my dad telling me, because he's a massive James Bond fan, he's why I'm a big James Bond fan, is because of my dad, because he watched him nonstop. And he used to tell me.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, of course, that's normal, right?
Why wouldn't?
Right?
I'm watching it right now.
And he would tell me, because you don't understand, because I grew up with Roger Moore.
Right.
As James Bond.
Yes.
So, you know, your definition of who
we all have a James Bond.
We all have a James Bond. It's Bond, largely the James Bond that you first saw as a kid. Yes. Right? I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, sure.
I feel bad for the kids that were born during the Timothy Dalton era. And so...
Oh, my God.
The humorless, sexless James Bond. And so, anyhow...
The one with the aha theme song. Ugh.
So I grew up thinking, okay, James Bond is Roger Moore. Right. And my dad hated Roger Moore. He hated Roger Moore. Hated him. He thought he was a goof. Just a total doofus. He was like, this guy doesn't have... I hear my dad's voice in my head right now. Sean Connery. He doesn't have the gravitas of Sean Connery. Sean Connery moved like a panther in a suit. I mean, you know, Roger Moore, he's a joke.
Now, to be fair, most of his movies are pretty bad.
Yeah, true.
Let's be honest.
They're campy. A bit.
I mean, they're fun.
They are fun.
Campy.
They are
fun campy. You know,
but they are campy.
Let's be real here for a second.
Yes. Because Roger Moore, he plays it for a laugh. Sean Connery, he was the real deal. He looked the part. I was like, okay. So for my dad,
I don't think Roger Moore was the problem with those movies.
No, me neither. So for my dad, you know, like the idea back in the day of someone replacing Sean Connery, it simply could not be done. And of course, George Lazenby didn't work out. That was a misfire. He was the initial choice.
Yeah, I would say so.
And what did they do? They went and picked an actor. George Lazenby was the spitting image of Sean Connery. He was the same style as Sean Connery. They got the same guy. Scottish guy. Well, he wasn't Scottish.
He definitely made it seem like he was Sean Connery.
He did the voice like Sean Connery.
Yep.
He had the hair, the look, the eyes, the coloring, the build. I mean, he was, you're Sean trying Connery, to guy man. Just like Sean Connery. That's George Lazenby.
Yeah.
And what they do, when that worked for one movie, it was a massive failure. They went out and got a guy who looked nothing like Sean Connery.
Well, they got Sean Connery back for one movie.
Oh, they did. That's right.
And then...
Never say never again.
No, that was Diamonds Are Forever.
That's right, Diamonds Forever. That's right. They did get him back for that one movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah, it was.
It's like, maybe we'll go with somebody else.
Right. But when they replaced him with someone who stood out,
yeah.
It was Roger Moore. They went different, physically different, personality, totally different. So, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Jack Sparrow is like Sean Connery and James Bond, Jack Sparrow to Johnny Depp. It's the same thing. So, to replace him, do you try to go something totally opposite? I think Zac Efron is, if you gave him long hair, and did up his eyes. He has a similar coloring of Johnny Depp. He has a similar coloring. He has a similar facial structure.
Yep.
I think you could make him look very similar to Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow. But is that the right decision? I don't know. It's a hard role to replace. I agree with you, even though I'm using the Sean Connery argument against it. I agree with you. It is not an easy task to do.
Yeah. The only counter I would make with the Sean, because you're absolutely right. I mean, it could happen. The people making the change in Sean Connery's case were not employees of today's Disney.
That's true. That is true.
Which, to me, I mean, looking at what they did with Han Solo, nothing against Alden Ehrenreich, who I think he did a fine job, but there it was basically, hey, look, it's the same Han Solo. Don't you love it?
Yes.
Don't you love it? And everybody's like, no, because Harrison Ford is Han Solo. Because they didn't do anything different with him. I feel like in Disney's hands, it would basically be it's Zac Efron playing Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow.
Right.
Which does not bode well for making it a role that you can actually change. Like,
right.
Like you said, Roger Moore was different. He was very different. And then after he was done, Timothy Dalton was different. To mixed results.
Right.
And then they went to, with Pierce Brosnan. And
who
then
was,
they went, who also was different. Yeah, who was also very different. And then they went with Daniel Craig, who was absolutely different, than those. So it has to be a care if they're going to make it a, well, we can just change the actor, whatever,
right.
It has to be, okay, well, we actually have to change the character a little bit in some way. And Disney, I think they fear change like they fear the plague.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
I agree. Well, look, they spent a truck ton of money, Steven.
Yeah.
Putting very nice, I mean, they look fantastic. Johnny Depp animatronics all throughout, not just the Pirates of the Caribbean in Disney World, but the one in Disneyland, too. Okay.
That's right.
They spent a ton of money, and these are high-end animatronics. It looks like freaking Johnny Depp there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But he's all throughout the thing. Well, Disney's kind of put themselves in a box where they've got, I don't know if they can cast someone who doesn't look like Johnny Depp, you know, or at least they can make look like Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could do that with Zac Efron. I'm looking at the guy, looking at a picture of him next to Johnny Depp. I can see where you can make it work.
You can make it work. Yeah.
You can make it work. Right, we'll see.
I mean, now what could work is they could have like Johnny Depp as the older Jack Sparrow and do like a flashback movie. And then it would just be, the young Jack Sparrow adventures or whatever going forward. And eventually he would reach that age and they could just carry on like, you know, the present day of that series, Jack Sparrow.
Interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's going to happen. I mean, they're going to reboot that franchise.
Oh,
it's happening.
Yeah, they will.
I'm convinced that's happening.
After what happened with that last one, I do not know if the appetite will be there.
I don't know either, man. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. other news from Disney, they're making yet another live-action movie.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I say live-action in air quotes, Stephen, because it's live-action like The Lion King was live-action.
Oh, meaning is that, it's not. Is that Bambi news?
Bambi.
Jesus Christ.
Yep, Bambi. Why are they calling it live-action, Stephen?
Because
stop it. It's not live action. It's photorealistic CGI technology. It's not live
action.
Yeah,
it's not real. If there's no people in it, it's not live action. It doesn't make any sense.
So they've confirmed the screenwriters. You're going to have Geneva Robertson-Duaret from Captain Marvel. And Lindsay Beer from Sierra Burgess is a loser.
Wonderful. Well, basically what that means is they're just going to basically take the credit for the original script.
Right.
And maybe, like, edit a few things out. So, basically, we're hiring copywriters
to
edit things.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah. I will say I did see a very... somebody tweeted, is like, oh, I've got leaked footage from the scene where Bambi's mom dies, and it's just a picture of a deer just looking. Wow, look how sad she is.
Yeah, I don't
know. That was was what happened with... I didn't see the whole The Lion King, but with the scene where Mufasa dies was awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, you cannot... I don't understand their thinking. It's like, well, except for cashing in on nostalgia.
Yeah.
And then when the kids say, I didn't like that, the adults going, oh, wait, let me buy the original so you'll like this one, too. It's just,
yeah,
it's just the most cynical, disgusting display of, hey, we can do whatever we want. Mm-hmm. I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to, I mean, look, The Lion King did,
it did
really well. But then again, that's The Lion King, because that's a juggernaut, period. Okay, yeah. That's one of the most successful Disney animated movies of all time.
Yeah.
It was also one of the most successful Broadway plays of all time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Broadway musicals, I apologize. Probably of all time. I mean, just immensely popular. So you're dealing with a new...
Yeah, and Dumbo didn't do well.
Dumbo did not do well. And I'm wondering with Bambi, if it... On the plus side,
sure,
it's old. So a remake of a movie from the 40s, okay. It's been a long time.
Fair.
Got it. It's not like you're remaking a movie from the freaking 1990s with Lion King.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? So or it's Mulan. Old. Or Mulan, right? So it's old. So, okay, so that's in the plus mark.
Sure.
The minus mark, or possible minus mark, is the story of Bambi going to play, is that going to interest modern viewers or not? Because Dumbo kind of missed the mark because a lot of modern viewers are like, you know? That's my only question.
I think the thing with Disney's movies, especially ones that are that old, is everyone knows what they are.
Yes.
It's just that... At least nowadays, most young people have not seen them.
Right.
It's through osmosis that they know.
Correct.
Dumbo and Bambi and whatnot.
You got it.
And I think the thing with Dumbo is just I don't know. Well, one of the things with Dumbo is it just looked depressing.
It did. Yeah.
Now, to be fair, Dumbo is a depressing movie in a lot of parts. I mean, it's about the circus, for God's sake, which has become one of those super, like, I don't want to see that.
Right.
Nobody wants to see it.
Right.
You know, thank God it's finally, the tide has
pretty much gone. That. Yeah, you don't see circuses anymore.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, Cirque du Soleil, people doing those weird things, why don't people want to see that more? Just saying. I think that's interesting.
I do,
to
too.
To me, I don't want to see some animal get the crap beat out of it.
There's a really good, they built a massive theater for Cirque du Soleil in Disney Springs at Disney World. And it's only for Cirque du Soleil. It's a beautiful place they built, and they just have the Cirque du Soleil plays there every night.
Yeah.
It's really cool, though.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
That's way more interesting.
Wow.
Than a bunch of animals being herded around.
Yeah. But, to that point, and what does everyone know about Bambi?
His mom dies. Yeah. Right.
And that's...
That's the sum total of it, let's be honest.
Yeah, so...
That's my only memory of Bambi is that mom dies.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you anything else about the rest of the story.
Yeah. And so you're going to bring a bunch of kids to watch a real deer get shot and killed.
Yeah.
On screen.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do that, then you're basically undercutting the entire movie.
Well, you gotta have it. That's the whole point of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's...
Fun times.
Yeah, fun times. It's probably another one of those movies that it was short, so they're going to have to lengthen it.
Oh, it was a very short movie.
It's just not going to work.
That's like the same problem Dumbo had.
Yeah.
Agreed. You know what I'm looking for, Steven? I'm looking forward to live action.
Fox and the Hound.
Finding Nemo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's literally... A bunch of expressionless fish. A bunch of expressionless fish swimming around.
Might as well just go film a fish tank of glub, 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 glub. But then, like, Ellen DeGeneres' voice comes out.
Yes! Oh, my God.
Oh, look at that Dory. She's so absent-minded, I think.
Oh, God.
Fantastic. I was thinking The Fox and the Hound, but just do it like the actual book.
Yes. Yes. All right.
Let's crush some kids' dreams hard in that one.
Oh, God. On that note, the only comic news from Marvel, Steven, or Disney, that I could find that really interested me was, because we are slowly making our way through all the X-Men titles.
Mm-hmm.
On the podcast.
Yep.
And there are quite a few now.
Yeah.
Some might say there are too many. When you look at the sales numbers, you get the feeling that maybe they've released too many. And they don't have enough readers to support that many.
They might say they pulled a Marvel.
Yes, indeed.
And, yeah.
Well, guess what? We're getting yet another X-Men spinoff title. Yeah. Children of the Atom. This one will take a closer look at the next generation of heroic mutants. Steven?
Don't we have those already, like, scattered throughout?
Thank you!
Already?
How many next generation of mutant heroes do we need? We already have, like, a billion of them, Steven. Mm-hmm. Literally a billion of them. Wait, what the hell? So anyhow, we're going to get a team of young, mysterious mutant heroes mm-hmm. who are going to be the sidekicks of Jean Grey, Nightcrawler, Cyclops, Angel, and Gambit.
Okay, so they're trying to do a Young Justice for the X-Men.
One of the latest titles to be.
We had that already.
We did. Yes, we did.
That was called the New Mutants.
Yes. We keep doing this over and over again.
It wasn't a one-to-one, but you know, I mean, come on.
This is ridiculous. We have more mutants than we know what to do with, and we have them from like age 6 on.
Yeah.
Already. I mean, Young X-Men. For crying out loud. As this says here, that the Children of the Atom gives the established members of the X-Men new sidekicks, inspired by the youth of today.
Oh, great.
The initial seed of the idea actually came from editor Chris Robinson. As all good stories do, they come from an editor, rather than hiring a talented writer and asking that talented writer to come up with an idea themselves. Yeah. Nope. Let the editor come up with an idea and assign it to a writer. What if, ready for this? Chris Robinson asked, what if the X-Men had sidekicks? Wow. How long did Chris spend thinking on that one? Yeah. Whoa. Ooh, I hope he didn't burn all 2 brain cells up thinking that idea. Jeez. And so writer Vita Ayala said, my take on it became, what would actual kids from our current time be like if they were X-Men sidekicks? What would Gen Z X-Men be like? I don't know. Oh, wait. I do know, because we already have those characters on like every X-Men title already.
Oh, my God.
Do we not, Steven? Yes, we do. They're all over the X-Men already.
Everywhere. Yeah, they are.
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
There are Gen Z X-Men characters all over the place.
Wasn't there a title called Young X-Men?
Yes!
I mean, oh, look at that. It's right there in front of you.
Oh. So Vita Ayala is a...
So we're creating more X-Men characters.
Yeah. She's a kind of a...
Oh, my God.
she's a bit of a low-level writer.
Sure.
But to be fair...
Sure.
Vita Ayala did write that story that you and I liked a lot on Wonder Woman 750, the one with Silver Swan.
Really?
She wrote that story.
Oh.
So...
Very interesting.
So...
Oh...
I like maybe. That story. You like that story. Yeah. So maybe she's got
some chops.
Maybe she's got some writing chops and can deliver a good story on Children of the Atom.
Okay.
I don't know. It fills me with a little bit of hope. I really did like that story on Wonder Woman 750. So I don't know. Maybe she's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
Wait, it could work. Now, the problem is that you stick somebody who has clear talent on a hackneyed, stupid idea like this.
Right. Yeah, that's the problem.
So you're basically handicapping her from the very beginning.
Yes.
Great. That's Marvel's forte these days. Yep. So that's wonderful. Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
So, you know, I don't
know. Can you get that artist on board, though? It'll be pretty to look at, though.
I know, right? Seriously.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, there's that, Steven.
Yeah.
Exciting,
expect
huh?
a lot of Skrillex references and... Something about The Bachelor, probably.
Ooh, love it. I'm on it.
I'm just saying, you can have that for free,
Marvel. There you go, Marvel. Hop on it. All right, Steven. Last thing I want to go over with the sales for December 2019.
Sure.
Let's take a quick peek. Mm-hmm. So, at December 2019, Steven, the number of top 300 comics sold was up 2% compared to December 2018. Okay.
Okay.
However, December 2019 was down 11% the same month 5 years ago, down 5% same month 10 years ago, down 8% same month 15 years ago, down 8% same month 20 years ago. Okay. The top 300.
Consistency.
Yay. Yes, consistency. The top 300 comics dollar sales, of course, is going to always be up because we're paying now a record high for individual comics now. I mean, just a record high. It was up 5% compared to December 2018. They just keep charging more and more, Steven. They just keep charging more and more. It's going to be like $6-7 a pop for regular issue soon enough. That's just going to happen. It's insane. Marvel They crushed DC in the unit sales. They got 45.6% of the unit sales. DC got 31.35% of the unit sales.
Well, that's the difference between between dropping a truckload of comics on somebody right. as opposed to halfway burying someone in comic books.
Exactly. Marvel beat DC in dollar share. Of course, follows. by much less of a margin, though, Stephen, because everybody wants to charge you an arm and leg for a comic now. Mm-hmm. Marvel had 37.89% of the dollar share versus DC's 33.55%. That's not much of a difference, considering unit share is about a 14% difference.
Yeah.
That shows you how expensive comics have gotten. In December 2019, Marvel released 113 titles in the top 300. DC released 85. So there's your difference between the two.
Yeah.
Still a lot.
It is.
In the battle for the top 10, Steven, it was a draw. Uh-huh. Marvel took five spots. DC took five spots.
Interesting.
DC did take the number one spot with Doomsday Clock, number 12.
How that happened after all these delays, I'm amazed.
I know.
Astounding.
DC also grabbed four of the top six spots.
Oh, interesting.
Marvel took the number two spot with X-Men number three.
Okay.
And
I mean, I'm glad to see that, because Hickman's X-Men is actually very good.
It is. And the numbers for Doomsday Clock number 12 was 117,926 units. And X-Men number three was 105,708 units. Okay?
Yeah.
So...
still would like to see more.
You would. It'd be nice.
I'm sure they would, too.
No, I'm sure they would. Believe me. DC relied on three titles from the Batman franchise and an issue of Superman to fill out their top 10.
Yeah.
Not a surprise. Mm-hmm. While Marvel relied on, predictably enough, three Spider-Man franchise titles, plus incoming number one to fill out the rest of their top 10. And unfortunately, unit numbers fell off a cliff by the time we get to the number five spot, Steven. In the number five spot, we get Venom number one selling 74,071 units. Yeah, you're already in the 70,000 unit range by the number five spot, Steven. It gets even worse. By the number 10 spot with Superman 18, 66,684 units. So you're in the 60,000 range by the number 10 spot.
Number 10, yeah.
It's not good. In the battle for the top 25, Marvel really separated from DC at that point. They put 14 titles in the top 25. DC put 10. IDW placed one. And that was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 100, at the number 17 spot. And then we have Marvel's domination. The top 25 came on the backs of the X-Men franchise.
Of course.
And the Spider-Man franchise. Zero surprise, right?
Yeah.
Of the 14 titles in the top 25, four were from the X-Men franchise, five from the Spider-Man franchise. And then you had incoming Doctor Strange, Revenge of Cosmic Ghost Rider, Immortal Hulk, and Conan rounding out the rest of their 14 in the top 25.
Wow, what a great investment.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, right?
It's really paying off for them.
It is.
What are they going to do when those rights run out?
Conan's rights?
Yeah.
They're going to just let him go.
They're just not, are they going to, I hope they secured that, yeah, we can still publish these titles after he's gone.
They probably have the reprint rights. That's my guess. Out of DC's 10 titles in the top 25... You had seven from the Batman franchise.
Yeah.
You had Doomsday Clock, one from the Superman franchise, and one from the Justice League franchise. As always, Steven, it's Batman to the rescue for DC, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's just been, that's been the case, Steven, since the 80s.
Well, it's Batman and Spider-Man.
Right. It's just how it works.
It's just how it is, yeah.
The battle for the top 50, my friend, Marvel just blew DC out of the water. It just got worse the farther down you went.
Yeah.
Marvel put 30 titles in the top 50, DC 17. Image... Image had none. Image had one. Yes. Boom had one. IDW, one.
Wow.
By the number 20 spot, Steven, we started getting titles in the 40,000 unit range, with New Mutants number 3 selling 49,991 units. It's the number 20 spot, dude.
Yeah.
By the number 38 spot, you had titles in the 30,000 range. That was King Thor number 4 selling 39,566 units.
Dude,
in the
depressing.
Number 38 spot, you're already in the 30,000 unit range.
Yeah.
That's soft. That's soft.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
In the battle of the bottom dwellers, Steven, is always fun.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty even.
Okay.
Not too terribly different. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Between comics selling between 10,000 and 20,000 units, Marvel 13 regular monthly titles in that group. DC said, hold my beer.
Oh, boy.
20.
Jesus
For Marvel, in this section of comics selling between 10,000 and 20,000 units, you had Valkyrie, James Foster, number 6. Yep, that was a comic nobody was asking for.
Yeah.
Thank God they killed off the real Valkyrie for that. Wow.
I'd say great job, guys. My Charlie's Angels idea. Brunhilde, Jane, and the one from the movies.
I'd have bought that.
Have them fight crime or something. That'd be great.
I'd have bought that. Star Wars Dr. Aphra, number 40.
Wow, something else nobody was asking for.
Yep, Savage Sword of Conan, number 12.
Ooh.
Yeah, ouch.
Investments.
Yeah.
I love them.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Dark Temple, number 5. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Black Panther, number 19.
Wow.
Ouch. Yeah, between 10,000 and 20,000. Mm. Wow. Web of Black Widow, number 4. Already by the fourth issue. Strike Force, number 4. Mm, already.
Who?
Strike Force. It's that random mishmash with Monica Rambeau, Rochambeau.
I'm sorry, I just had a vision of her in the jungle, like Rambo. Monica Rambeau.
What is her last name?
I think it's Rambeau, but it's
something
French,
like that.
It's French.
French, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and Bucky and Blade and that whole random bag of a team.
And yeah. Blade?
Yeah, it's a horrible team.
Oh, my God.
It's a weird mix mash of characters. Hellstrom is on it, too. Damien Hellstrom's on it.
Why?
Yeah, I don't...
Are they trying to be weirder than the Defenders?
Yeah,
or worse than the Defenders?
I can't figure
what?
It out.
That's...
It's bizarre.
That's... Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. Gwenpool...
Don't do that.
No. Gwenpool Strikes Back, number 5. I think the Gwenpool thing can probably end now. I think Gwen Stacy can go back to being dead now.
Please,
I think we're done.
Actually.
Old Man Quill, number 12.
12 issues?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's, ugh.
Invaders, number 12.
Oh.
I know, I like that title. That's sad, isn't it?
That's depressing.
It is. Magnificent Miss Marvel, number 10. No surprise. Spider-Man Velocity, number 5. And Age of Conan Valeria, number 5. It's the female version of Conan. That was a good idea.
Who thought that? Oh my God. I really need to know who came up with that idea. If they had just said, hey, we're just going to make it one of our like properties like Star Wars
right.
we have on the side, then sure. Mm. But we're just going to shove them right in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, man.
Great.
For DC, the comics in the 10,000, 20,000 unit range, Far Sector number 2.
I don't even know what that is.
Nope. Nightwing number 67.
Rick Grayson
yeah.
strikes again.
Justice League Odyssey number 16.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's depressing.
Teen Titans number 37.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
John Constantine Hellblazer number 2.
Oh, just get Grant Morrison back.
Right.
No, not Grant Morrison. Alan
no, no,
Moore.
No. Alan Moore. Batman and the Outsiders number 8.
No.
Lois Lane number 6. How's that working out?
Oh, my God.
Dollhouse Family number 2. Aquaman number 55. Aquaman. Ouch. Wow. He-Man and the Masters of the Multiverse number 2. Young Justice number 11.
Oh.
Ouch. Deathstroke number 50.
Oh.
Hawkman number 19.
Oh.
I know, this is killing me, Steven.
Come on, people.
I know. Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen number 6.
I figured that one was good.
Right, yeah, I kind of figured that too.
I mean, I like it, okay, but it's
right.
Not, no.
Yeah, right. Metal Men number 3.
Metal Men?
Yeah, yeah. Last God number 3. Supergirl number 37. Superman Smashes the Clan number 2, because evidently it's 1942, Steven, and somebody wanted to read that title. and Gotham City Monsters number 4. Youch.
Okay.
Now we move to the category of comics selling 10,000 units or less.
Yes. Marvel. I feel like I know who's going to.
Marvel has 5 regular monthly titles in this range.
No.
DC, again, says Marvel, hold my beer.
Oh, no.
12.
Oh, my God.
Ouch. For Marvel, comics selling 10,000 units or less includes Agents of Atlas number 5, Yondu number 3.
Who was asking for that?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Runways number 20. Yondu number 3, by the way. That's a good example of character might be popular in a movie,
yeah.
Does not mean it supports a comic.
Yeah.
You cannot tie movies to comics ever. Two different audiences. Two totally different audiences.
Yeah.
When will Marvel figure that out? Two completely different audiences. Runaways number 28. Future Foundation number 5 and Arrow number 6. Hmm. For DC, comics selling 10,000 units or less.
Oh, boy.
Doom Patrol, Weight of the Worlds number 6. Dreaming number 16. Lucifer number 15. Hey, my show that I'm watching.
There you go.
Wonder Twins number 10. House of Whispers number 16. Inferior 5 number 4. And Gen Lock number 2. All right.
I don't even know what those last ones are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Debut issue, Steven, in December 2019. Dark Knight Returns Gold Child number 1, 88,794 units. No surprise.
Yeah.
Symbiote Spider-Man Alien Reality number 1, 71,341 units. No surprise, it's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Incoming number 1, 69,025 units. That's soft. That's soft. For incoming number 1, Marvel probably wanted that to pop a much bigger number than 69,000 units,
yep.
Stephen. That's soft.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor Strange number 1, 55,000.
They reboot that again?
Trying to get that. You know, when you have a title not selling well, reboot it, Steven. Hopefully you get some traction. It sold 53,664 units. That's for a number one issue. It'll drop back. It'll be in the 30s by the second or third issue. Revenge of Cosmic Ghost Rider number 1, Steven. 50,639 units. That'll be in the 30,000 range in an issue or two.
Yep.
Conan Serpent War number 1, 47,804 units. Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1, 46,511 units. That's a good number for...
That's a good number for...
That is.
For them, yeah.
No, absolutely. That's a good number for them. That is. They should be happy.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad number 1, 46,258 units.
We're breeding that again. For what reason?
Yeah. And I guess Marvel thought fans really wanted the 2099 titles, right? Venom 2099 number 1, 41,503 units. Spider-Man 2099 number 1, 39,272 units. Ghost Rider 2099 number 1, 28,042 units. Doom 2099 number 1, 27,294 units. 2099 Omega number 1, 26,336 units. Maybe, Marvel overestimated the demand for the 2099 titles. Just maybe.
Why?
I don't know.
Look, I get it. Spider-Man 2099 was a great little ending scene gag and Into the Spider-Verse. That does not mean that I'm assuming that's what it was based on.
I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Then again, if that's what they went on, they probably would have had 60 Spider-Man number 1
right.
on sale.
Yes.
Lots of pointing. Points.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
God. Somebody. Ugh.
And last but not least, even Spider-Ham number 1 sold 41,342 units.
That is 40,000 whatever more than I thought it would sell.
Yes.
So, good
yes.
job.
Okay. Now we can talk about My Beloved Legion of Superheroes, Steven. My Beloved Legion of Superheroes. When the sales numbers came out, Steven, for Legion of Superheroes number 1, okay, and it sold 51,835 units, I said, this is my fear. This is what I wrote in my article.
Mm-hmm.
My fear for the Legion. My fear is that the Legion will experience the customary drop in readership between the first and second issue and will end up in the 30K range by the second issue and slide down to the 20K range by the third issue. And I don't want my title to get canceled. Well,
yeah.
Steven, Legion of Superheroes number 2, 35,653 units. Who was right? This guy.
There you go.
Nailed it. And what will be number 3, Steven? It will be in the 20s. You know it'll be in the 20s.
Yeah.
The title has dropped like a rock, Steven. It had a crappy number 1 sales number.
Yeah.
Crappy.
Yeah, of course.
Now, as a diehard Legion fan, what? I don't want to see the title get canceled again.
Yep.
But I don't want to continue on the way it is.
Yep.
Does DC, in your gut reaction, just your gut feeling, does DC just cancel Legion again and say, look, this franchise, this doesn't work, and cancel it? Or does DC go, Bendis just isn't what he used to be, to be fair. This is not Brian Bendis circa 2000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's in his 50s. He's not what he was in year 2000, okay? Does DC just go, look, take Bendis off it, let's put another writer on it, kind of do a little soft restart, and see if we can gain some traction? Or, third option, Steven, does DC go, it's not Bendis's fault, and it's not the Legion franchise's fault. It's this four-boot version. Fans just don't like it. We'll trash it and go back to the one that Geoff Johns brought back, the version that Geoff Johns brought back in Legion of the Three Worlds. Which of the three happens?
Well, it'll probably get canceled. I mean, they canceled all the really good. I can't remember what it was called, the ones after Metal.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Those the new ones. I don't. God, I can't remember the line now.
Was it Heroes Age? Age of Heroes?
The New Age of Heroes.
New Age of Heroes.
Yeah, they canceled those. I mean, they gave it about a year, I think, with each one, and when it started canceling them. So, I don't know. I think the Legion of Superheroes is kind of a daunting franchise for some people, because you look, it's all these characters you don't know, and it's not directly connected to anything that's happening right now. So I can see, you know, there's a challenge there, but I mean, so much. At least in the past, was so good that I don't know. Maybe I really don't know. It's tough.
I said Bendis was the wrong writer for that franchise.
Well, yeah.
Like him or not, it doesn't matter. You can love Bendis. That's not the right title for
him.
No,
it's not. It's not his kind of title.
At no point would you ever, even a diehard Bendis fan, would never say yes. A title that is sci-fi based and has 30 characters on the roster. Yeah. That's not for Bendis.
No.
That's not in his wheelhouse. It never has been. Even his loyal supporters would agree to that, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so.
I'm afraid they're just going to cancel and not switch writers. That's my concern, which would suck.
Yeah.
Which would suck. But it's going to be in the 20,000 unit range by the third issue. It will be.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely will be, because it's not a good read.
Yeah.
And speaking of Bendis, his other comics, Steven...
Mm-hmm.
Superman 18 did well, 66,684 units.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, it's Superman.
That's probably better than Superman's done in a while.
and Young Justice, number 10, 22,402 units.
Yeah.
You know, his Wonder comic titles, Wonder Twins, number 10, 8,309 units. So it just... My concern is there are rumblings that maybe Bendis has positioned himself in the power structure of DC to be assuming the Geoff Johns / Scott Snyder position. I think that would be a massive mistake when you look at the sales numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the sales numbers, anything that he has his fingers on is selling like crap. Exception of Superman at number 18. Not selling gangbusters,
no.
But it's fine.
Yeah.
Again, it's Superman.
Sure.
But everything else Bendis is touching... is selling like crap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy you want to put in charge. Yeah. I mean, last time I checked, Geoff Johns had the number one spot. And that's on a title, Steven, that has been delayed like a gajillion months.
Yeah.
Still took the number one spot. Still took it.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, hey.
I don't know. Just a word of caution.
I don't know either.
You know.
I think Snyder will still be in that place for a while.
Right.
For a little while. He's still young. And I mean... You could argue that Geoff Johns has just finally started moving away.
Right.
Because I feel like he still has a lot of influence.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I definitely do not. I think he needs somebody, Bendis needs somebody to tell him no.
I agree.
Sometimes.
I agree. Star Wars franchise, Steven. The best-selling Star Wars comic was Star Wars Rise of Kylo Ren number 1. Sold 31,733 units.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars Empire Ascendant number 1 sold 31,484 units.
Yeah.
Star Wars Target Vader number 6 sold 22,647 units. Star Wars Dr. Aphra number 40 sold 19,430 units.
Yeah.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Dark Temple number 5 sold 16,435 units.
Just let the game come out and have that sell well.
Yeah.
We're just going to saturate everything.
Yeah. I think that the... low sales numbers for the Star Wars comics shows that if Disney's planning on fixing continuity issues from their crappy movies that can't agree with each other because the directors are warring, they can't use the comics to do that because no one's reading the comics.
Yeah.
So you got to do it in the movies. Mm-hmm. So actually hire someone that knows what they're doing for the movies. You know what I mean? The X-Men franchise, Steven? X-Men franchise, all the titles, they're all sunk down to around the 40,000 to 30,000 unit range. Mm-hmm. The latest issue of Marauders number 4, 45,000 unit range. The latest issue of Excalibur number 4, 46,000 unit range.
Yeah.
Fallen Angels number 4, 37,000 unit range. X-Force number 4, 44,000 unit range. New Mutants number 4, 47,000 unit range. So they're all kind of in that, you know, that mid 40,000 unit range, with the exception of Fallen Angels, which is in the mm-hmm. upper 30,000 unit range.
Yeah.
It's too many titles. Yeah. It's too many.
Mm-hmm.
And we're adding yet another X-Men title to the mix when you're getting these kind of numbers.
Yeah.
On all the spinoff titles, I don't know why you'd add another title to the mix.
Yeah.
I don't think you have the readership to support them all.
No.
You know what I mean? And last but not least, even the last two things to touch on, I'd like to take a peek and see how the female lead comics are doing. Mm-hmm. Really, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see who is selling well. Harley Quinn, Villain of the Year number 1, sold very well. That was the number 1 selling female comic, as 73,146 units.
Okay, wow.
Number 2 is Harleen number 3, selling 59,501 units.
Huh.
So Harley Quinn doing her job for DC.
Yep.
And the number 3 spot is the first Marvel comic, Amazing Mary Jane number 3, 38,956 units. That's the drop between the number 2 spot and the number 3 spot, Stephen. That's a massive drop.
Yeah.
Number 4 spot, Captain Marvel number 13, 36,600 units.
Selling
sliding
less than
right.
Mary Jane.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. Carol Danvers. Selling less than the Amazing Mary Jane. Yeah. Wow.
Mm.
And again, you can keep restarting Captain Marvel all you want. It's always going to go right back down to the high 20s.
Yep.
That's just what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just going to happen. Expecting anything different is just foolish.
Mm-hmm.
The number 5 spot, Wonder Woman Dead Earth number 1, 35,542 units. Number 6 spot, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy number 4, 33,838 units. How did that for Harley Quinn, Stephen? Three mm-hmm. of the top 6 female lead monthly titles.
Yep.
Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. What would be going on if we didn't have Harley Quinn out there? These would be terrible sales numbers.
Yep.
7 spot, Black Cat number 7, 30,795 units. I put this next title in to show just as a comparison of what Marvel and DC have in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
What they need to do.
Yeah.
And if the paths they're taking are the best paths. The number 8 spot for female lead titles, Vampirella. Number 6, 30,361 units. Now, Vampirella is targeting readers like me.
Mm-hmm.
Not really targeting young women.
Sure.
Vampirella has always targeted, to be generous, teenage men. Mm-hmm. Okay. Young men. Yeah. She has a fair amount of sex appeal.
You could say that.
So, keep that in mind, Stephen. 30,361 units, right? She outsold the next comic in line, mm-hmm. Wonder Woman number 83. And not by a few issues either. Wonder Woman number 83, 27,775 units.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman cannot outsell Vampirella. How does that happen? Come on. How does that happen, Steven? That shouldn't happen. DC should be able to do better than that.
Yeah.
In the number 10 spot, Steven? Again, just to give you reference, Deja Thoris number 1, 26,431 units. Deja Thoris, again.
Yeah.
Not, that's targeting, again, young male readers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen her costume.
Yeah.
You know the gist of the stories, right? Mm-hmm. You know the gist of the comic. Okay, well, it outsold the next comic, Catwoman number 18, 24,324 units. Vampirella outsells Wonder Woman. Deja Thoris outsells Catwoman. Also, Harley Quinn number 68, 28,000 units. Valkyrie Jane Foster number 6, 20,342 units, Stephen. Supergirl number 37, 19,923 units. Uh-huh. Lois Lane number 6, 18,231 units. Web of Black Widow number 4, 13,896 units. Gwenpool Strikes Back number 5, 12,587 units. Magnificent Miss Marvel number 10, 12,098 units. Again, all these comics selling less than Vampirella. and Deja Thoris. It just to give you context, Vampirella beating out Harley Quinn, Wonder Woman, Supergirl, Lois Lane, mm-hmm. Black Widow, Miss Marvel.
Yep.
Again, not slagging on Vampirella. I buy that comic. Stephen rolling his eyes. I have bought every issue of Vampirella since like at the day I was born. Are you kidding me? I think I have a complete run of Vampirella. All the way back to like the big giant 1970s ones. You know, the big giant oversized issues from the 70s. I got those too. but so I'm not slagging on it because mm-hmm. I love the franchise, but right. but I know what it is, okay? Mm-hmm. I acknowledge what it is.
Right.
And I'm sorry. There is no reason for Vampirella to be outselling Wonder Woman, Supergirl, Lois Lane, Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something isn't working with how Marvel and DC are doing their female lead titles. I don't know how you fix it. I don't really know what it is. They're doing something that's not working.
Yeah.
I don't know who they're targeting. I don't know who they're writing for. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their approach is, but it's not working.
Right.
It's just not working. It's the proof is in the numbers.
Yeah. And they're targeting an audience that's not there. I mean, maybe they would be. I don't know. I think at this point, I mean, we hit the nail on the head a lot last time, is that you can't say that they're not trying.
Oh, they are trying. Look, there's 19 comics right there. 19 titles, Stephen. Mm-hmm. 19 that have a female lead.
Yeah.
Monthly titles. 19. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Yeah. They are clearly trying.
Yeah. It's like
either the approach isn't working or the audience isn't there.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. But they are trying.
Yeah, they're trying. They're shoving it out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes some of them are good. You know? But nope. It's just not connecting.
It gets even worse. The last thing we'll touch on are the minority lead monthly titles. Mm-hmm. That's getting bad, Stephen. Because no one's buying them. And again, I'm not blaming Marvel and DC.
No.
Do you know how many there are in December 2019? How many there were minority lead titles? Mm-hmm. If you include Agents of Atlas, because it's all Asian super team. So I included them.
Sure.
Right? Six. That's it. Only six. Number one was Miles Morales, Spider-Man number 13. Only 29,500 units. Yuck. Number two, Star Wars Dr. Aphra, number 40, 19,430 units. Number three, Black Panther, number 19, 15,660. Yeah. 15,660 mm-hmm. units for Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
That's pathetic.
Yep.
Magnificent Miss Marvel, number 10, 12,098 units. Black Panther and the Agents of Wakanda, number four, 10,468 units. Awful. Agents of Atlas, number five, 9,066 units. Hideous.
Yeah.
And then you're done. There are no more. That's it. Now, there used to be more, but they all got canceled.
They got canceled.
Because they weren't selling.
Mm-hmm.
So, again,
you're down to the ones that you can't cancel now.
Right. And I blame the readers.
Yeah, I do too. I 100% blame them.
It's not Marvel and DC. They try. Remember, when we first started doing this, there used to be like 15 minority lead monthly titles. At least 15.
Yeah.
And that has shrunk down to six because they just weren't selling. And at some point, Marvel and DC, they're not in the business of being charities. They have employees to pay.
Mm-hmm.
They have corporate overlords to make happy.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't just subsidize everything. They're already, in my opinion, subsidizing a lot of comics they shouldn't be.
Yeah, I would argue so. I would say they could probably cut down their line by a half.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marvel, you could probably cut it down by three quarters.
Right. So,
if we're being perfectly honest.
That's Steven, it's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It's brutal. And I mean, I don't, again, I shrug my shoulders. I don't have an answer. I don't know what, it is what it is. It is the audience that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It is the audience you have. And whatever attempts they're making to grow out of that audience, it's not working for whatever reason it is.
Yeah, it's the. I think the sad fact. I don't know if it's fact, but I'm gonna call it fact anyway. I think it's a sad fact that you probably have more people online complaining about how there's no diversity in Marvel and DC's titles than there are people who actually buy those titles.
Oh, I firmly believe that that a large percentage of the people complaining about it don't buy comics.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they had their when they had those big pushes, like, oh, they we're going to talk about Thor and being Jane Foster on The View. That was the only one that sold anything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was the only one.
All the rest tanked.
Yep.
All these people that champion them, that they don't buy comics.
They didn't buy them.
They like to post online.
Yes.
They don't buy them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big deal. And the more Marvel tries to publish to people like that who don't buy comics, the more you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do. I mean, all you can do is just try to write good stories, and really good stories that are designed to entertain. Mm-hmm. This is escapist. I think maybe, you know, look, they've tried to hire very niche, very socially and politically active writers for a lot of these minority titles.
Yeah.
It has not worked.
No, not financially, and in some cases, definitely not creatively either.
So the numbers aren't there. Nope. It doesn't work. So maybe you try to find writers who are good at escapist stories, and the characters just so happen to be diverse. But that's not the point of the story. And maybe you'd have more success. I don't know, but this current approach is clearly not working.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say. It's weird, but it's not working. So try something. Shake it up? I don't know.
Yeah. People don't like to be pandered to, especially minority audiences.
Yeah, pandering is not fun.
It feels, it may, well,
it's being
from my personal experience with people that I've talked to about this, they don't like feeling like props for somebody to feel good about themselves.
Yep.
Especially for a boardroom of a bunch of white people trying to tell them what they would like. And now you have also Pasty White, Kevin Feige in control of Marvel. Doesn't help anything. Sorry. Now, there are plenty of talented women and people of color in the business. They probably don't work for Marvel or DC, so how about you give some of them a shot? People who actually write comic books.
All right. Yep.
You know, stop looking to the New York Times or the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Those people are good for those things.
Right. Right.
Which, I don't know. This is always my problem. There's people working for Boom and IDW who would kill to write on a Marvel or DC comic get the chance.
You need to double back and remember you're a comic book company. Hire comic book writers, people who love comics, who love superhero genre, and people who want to write entertaining escapist stories first. And not pander and or preach to people.
Yes.
That is not working. The sales numbers show that does not work.
Mm-hmm.
All the comics that sell really well, the focus is on kick-ass superhero action, adventure, and fun.
Yeah.
So there it is. It's crazy, Steven. It's crazy. Yeah. It's very interesting.
The formula's right there in front of him.
You know? It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how January turns out. Maybe things will change. I don't know. This is a trend, Steven, that just keep... This trend does not seem to be reversing, though.
Nope.
It just doesn't.
Comics is becoming a more and more niche market.
It will soon be
a niche thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have maybe 100 titles between all of them.
Yeah.
And that's just how it's going to be.
I know. It's crazy.
Yep.
All right. Well, on that really depressing note, Steven.
Sure. You're welcome.
Well, things might get better. You never know.
I think it's going to take somebody who has a lot of IP that everybody loves getting into comics that will draw people back.
Yeah.
And it will not be from Marvel or DC. It will have to be from some other existing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what 2020 has in store for us, my friend. We'll keep following the charts. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, my friend. Until next time, viva la revolución.